Bonjour.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Steve and
Ronald
here for episode number 32 of the Movie Schmovie podcast.
Welcome back.
It's been a little bit.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit. We've been having some issues just trying to stay on schedule and
yeah.
Our busy, busy lives, you know.
People thought we were going to go away. F that
Psych.
Noise. F that noise. You guys are stupid sauce.
But wait.
We're going to stop.
There's more.
There's more.
That's the, who is that? One of the Wayans brothers from Scary Movie?
Also,
I always love that
also
one.
Also kind of sounds like Adam Sandler doing
it's,
his
I feel
Jewish
like,
old lady impression.
Yeah, there's a lot of Adam Sandler that finds his way into a lot of my
impressions. He's funny.
But yeah, we're going to have a fun podcast today. We're going to be talking about a new comedy coming out. A couple really cool films we're also going to be mentioning during our quick picks and our Mighty Minute breakdown, which we're going to start right now with. We're going to be talking about the Mighty Minute breakdown for the film 21 Jump Street.
21 Jump Street.
We've mentioned it a couple times on
we
the
have.
Podcast, movies that we wanted to see. I mean, you kind of, I think, mentioned it in one of our episodes, like where we were catching up on movies that we had seen over the past weeks prior to that. But I finally saw the film, and I'm not going to lie, man, I loved it.
It was
I found it to be
so
hilarious.
Funny.
And actually, I watched it twice the day I saw it.
Really?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
It. You know, I was expecting it to just be, you know, kind of mediocre. And this is one of those movies that kind of carries on the name of a TV show. And I thought that it was going to be bad, honestly.
Well, carries it on, but it's like, it's its own thing.
It is its own thing, which is good. I was telling somebody this. And this kind of applies to basically anything. If the namesake doesn't have to make it a literal translation of a TV show, of the book, of anything, you have to have a different spin on it. And you couldn't.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Look no further than Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum for.
Which blows my mind. Like they riff off each other so well. And I think Channing Tatum is really funny.
Surprisingly.
I didn't think I'd say that out loud. I mean, it's been in my mind a few times, but I could just...
I looked at him as a Vin Diesel, if you will.
Right, right.
One-trick pony.
You definitely got to give, you know, a lot of credit to the screenwriter, Michael Bacall, and I mentioned it before, the directing team, Phil Lord and Chris Miller. I really think that they're going to be, you know, directors to watch in the coming years. They've done a lot of really cool stuff, and... I just love the cameo with Johnny Depp and, I mean, the other 21 Jump Street actors.
I thought that was supposed to be a secret, this whole...
Nah, man.
No?
It's been everywhere. I mean, I don't know. If you haven't known it by now, well, now you do and you can thank me later, but...
Okay.
But maybe... but his cameo, what it is, that's a secret, and that's really fun.
Yeah, it's
That definitely... literally is a secret.
I had a gut feeling that somebody would be there from the franchise, and then... Yeah, this it's a cool surprise.
Yeah, I think that it was really cool how, you know, they just kind of like worked in there a couple extra people. Like Holly Robinson was in it. Peter DeLuise was in it. If you've ever seen the old, you know, 21 Jump Street episodes, you know who they were. But if you're not old like me, then you probably don't.
Right.
But anyway, it's awesome movie.
I didn't mean to say right to you being old. You aren't
no, you
old.
You did.
You aren't old.
That's cool, though. But yeah, loved it. 21
yeah,
Jump Street,
solid.
Good
go
stuff,
see it.
Man.
Go see it.
One of the funnier movies I've seen in a
I'm
long
time. I'm
sorry
we couldn't rate it completely, but, you know, it kind of fell on a different, a weird week. And we both couldn't see it at the same time, so.
But what we do rate completely with this episode is our feature review, and that is the newest installment in the American Pie franchise.
Get the.
It's called American Reunion.
Yep.
So what do you think, man? Were you excited for this movie? Let's talk a little bit about the anticipation prior to our, you know, discussion of the
I'm
film
I'm
going to
be completely honest with you. I had the excitement of a kid getting a root canal.
Some kids are into that.
A
especially if you get the drugs.
Long-haired Indian woman giving her hair to someone overseas for a donation. I wasn't really excited. I'm be honest with
those
you.
Those are pretty like wasn't really excited or like you were scared of it.
I
those
was,
are things
I was
that are
both,
like bad.
I have a fear of disaster.
You thought American Reunion was going to be a disaster.
A disaster. To me, American Wedding was a disaster.
I wouldn't,
the previous installment was a disaster.
Okay.
I think that what happened was, I think that that sort of perverted, Porky sort of humor that kind of carried into the first two didn't really carry into American Wedding the way it should have.
Mm-hmm.
And this had a lot to kind of live up to. And the cast is all there, right?
Yeah,
that's from the
literally
the
everyone is
original
there.
Franchise. So you get Jason Biggs, Allison Hannigan, Sean William Scott, Chris Klein, Thomas Ian Nicholas, Tara Reid, everybody, literally everybody.
Even the background players. Even the background. Like John Cho, the Shermanator, Nadia. I mean, Jim's dad, Thomas, Stifler's mom. Like, everybody's in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and I got to be honest with you, in talks of anticipation, I've been excited about this movie since they first announced it back in 2008.
This is where we differ.
This is that divide. I love the American Pie movies, even though, you know, some of the, you know, their installments have their faults. You know, I rewatched, initially going into seeing, I was like, I think American Wedding is my least favorite, which came out in 2003, which blows my mind. I can't believe it's been 9 years.
It's insane.
I can't believe it. I didn't love it. I liked it. I think I just liked it because I love these movies. I love the heart that they have at the center of them. Yeah. They are that raunchy Porky's, you know, kind of mentality at, you know, on the surface, but at the core, I feel like the American Pie films, especially the first one, you know, they do have a lot of heart, and there's a lot of nostalgia with me personally, because when American Pie came out in the summer of 1999, I was graduating high school, and it was like, you know, that was me and my friends, you know, was like my closest friends, like that summer that they had to just go all out and just make it one to remember. So like seeing this movie, you know, like 13 years later or whatever it is, it's like, it's like a walk down memory lane for me. So I was really excited about it, you know.
There was also something
ramping up.
There was also something else that kind of made me unenthusiastic about seeing this movie. That was the spinoff movies.
Oh yeah, those are the
8 or 9 spinoff movies that kind of came from the American Pie franchise that they tried to do sort of the same sort of humor, except the acting wasn't as good and the writing wasn't as good. So this kind of threw some dirt on the name of the American Pie franchise. So on top of that, I bet a lot of people besides myself were a little afraid of kind of seeing this movie too.
Yeah, then, you know, I've even had a conversation with someone where I was like, the fourth American Pie movie, and they literally said, like, aren't there like 7 out now?
Yeah,
because it's basically become what like the National Lampoon franchise is.
Right.
You know, there are the originals like European Vacation, like Vacation, Christmas Vacation, even Vegas Vacation. And then there's all these other ones, like National Lampoon's Fill in the Blank, that are absolutely horrible. And that's what they've done. That's what Universal, the studio's done with American Pie, is that they've made these direct-to-DVD films that, oddly enough, are really successful in DVD.
They are. I mean, because...
They're not great, but they make money, and that's why they do it.
It has a lot of the... They have a lot of the elements that the older movies had. Attractive women, ridiculously sexual situations that most people wouldn't get into.
Yeah.
And, you know, perverted humor. So,
yeah.
But this movie is a lot different. This movie is a lot different. It has, first thing I'll say, before I say anything about how I liked it, was I love the fact that the whole cast came. I
mean, it means a lot.
Yeah, it means a whole lot. It means that this script was, two things. The script was good enough for everybody to be on board, or they just don't have any jobs right now. They don't have any work. But I happen to think
And with some of them, it could be either.
Right, right. I happen to think it's the former. You know what I mean? Because I bet that there was a lot of talks about prior scripts that just didn't work, especially when they announced it. It was supposed to come out years ago.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
Years ago. So this basically takes place, their high school reunion, right?
Yep.
They graduated in 1999. They're all coming back to their hometown.
East Great Falls.
Yeah, and meeting up for the high school reunion. So everybody's there, except they exclude Stifler out of this one.
Well, yeah, when the guys get together, the guys kind of have their little powwow, and they're like, oh, yeah, let's get together a couple days beforehand. And, you know, Jim and Kevin and Oz and Finch, like, they're all talking about getting together, and they don't want to include Stifler because of how, you know, he's Stifler, he's crazy, he causes problems. they're adults now with kids and wives and whatnot. And, you know, they come back, and they get their get-together going, and, of course, Stifler finds his way there because Stifler never left East Great Falls.
Right. He didn't. Interesting.
Yeah. And the movie kind of kicks off from there, but...
Right. I think a recurring theme, I mean, especially after you've come out of high school, it's kind of this idea that are you exactly what you wanted to be after you graduated? You have all these plans, and 10 years later, where exactly are you? And I'm sure most people will find that they're not exactly where they want to be. Not necessarily that they're failing, But in their minds, because they're not doing exactly what they wanted to do, that is a kind of form of failure. So we're seeing all these characters a little older. They're not so old. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thanks, Ronald. They're my age.
Right, exactly. All right. Kevin's married now. Jim is married to Michelle.
With a baby, Michelle. Yeah.
And it's all these sort of separations. A lot of them haven't spoken in a while. And they come back to this hometown, and they're kind of picking up the pieces, seeing how everybody's doing, and it kind of takes off from there. So.
And what's really cool, I personally have experienced it, you know, with those friendships like that, those high school friends or college friends, whatever you want to pick. You know, it's like you go away for years and you get together, and like a lot of times you just really do pick up where you left off. Yeah. And like these guys truly do. You know, you can tell that they're on different pages a lot about some things, and you know, here and there, career, you know, relationships, whatever it might be. But there's that core that binds, you know, those experiences that they shared in the other films that we shared with them that, you know, makes you invested, you know, and you kind of get to, you know, revisit those feelings, those laughs, and also go on a whole new journey.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in a couple new ridiculous situations that you've come to love.
Definitely.
The American Pie franchise for.
One thing I ask of a sequel. Sequel, do this for me. You up the ante. You keep the cast members, and then you change something really drastically. Now, it does all those things really well. And then on top of that, it adds two characters that I think are pretty cool. So, Dania Ramirez, she was in Entourage.
Entourage, yeah.
She's beautiful. She is actually, she was Michelle's friend from Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. She shows up, and she is absolutely beautiful. Her breasts are out a lot, you'll notice. And she's very curvy. Now, there's also another character that they added, Mia, who is Jim's next-door neighbor, used to babysit her. And she kind of, she's grown, she's beautiful.
You mean Kara?
Is it Kara?
Kara. Okay. Kara's next-door Kara. Neighbor. Mia is Oz's
Gotcha,
girlfriend.
Kara. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Kara. Kara comes back, and she's a little older. She's of age.
And 18th birthday.
Right. So there's this idea that Stifler kind of presents where he should screw this girl before he leaves.
Or some of her friends.
Right.
Whatever they could do.
Right, so.
Because Kara is gorgeous. She's, you know, this gorgeous high school senior, birthday party. She's been saving her virginity. And she obviously has a crush on Jim. And, yep. You know, it kind of things go from there. And like you said, Stifler takes it upon himself to make that happen.
Yeah.
And that lets us down a couple pretty funny roads with these characters involving a party at the beach, involving a ride home that doesn't go as planned,
mm-hmm.
Getting a girl back into her room naked while her parents are there.
Right.
A lot of good stuff.
A lot of solid...
lends itself to some pretty good comedy.
Right. So I guess with all that said, I guess I should ask the biggest question, man. What did you think about the movie?
I'm not going to lie, man. I loved it. Right. I really did. And I'm not trying to sound biased, and I can admit even a little bit that I am, because I love these movies. Even having gone back and watched them after seeing American Reunion, watching 1, 2, and 3 in a row, I do kind of tweak my feelings a little bit. I don't like American Pie 2 as much as I thought I did.
Right.
I did have more issues with it the second time going around, and American Wedding, I think I actually liked a little more than American Pie 2. But it just feels so much more like the original American Pie.
It does.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it's almost, I mean, I think of what some criticism might fall onto it is that it's almost too much like that first movie.
Right.
In some ways, you know, because everybody's back there, everybody's together, you know, there's nudity, you know, Jim has his moment where he's naked in the kitchen again, which proves to be pretty hilarious.
Yeah, always.
And, you know, I just think that it really tunes into what made me absolutely love the original film. It's one of my favorite comedies of all time.
Gotcha.
You know, I love American Pie. Another thing that I think is really cool about it is that even though, you know, there's a whole different in terms of like writers, directors, like none of the directors on the sequels had, you know, there's no consistency from film to film, you know, it was
right.
All these different people. And the guys that did this film were the guys that did like the Harold and Kumar films, which as absurd as they are and as ridiculous as they are, I find to be pretty fun.
They are.
You know, and in the hands of someone that knows how to have fun and to convey comedy on the screen, they really handled that heart that I talked about earlier with some decency and with some sensitivity. And I mean, as, you know, they the guys that directed it also wrote it, John Hurwitz and Hayden Schlossberg. I think they did a great job. I mean, I think that there wasn't a point in the film where I was like, I mean, a couple jokes I felt like fell flat a little bit.
I literally wrote that as a note.
Yeah, that a couple fell flat.
Jokes fall flat at times.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because I feel like they're trying to tap into things that aren't as relevant anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's kind of the dichotomy they have and say, we got to take what worked, what people loved. And obviously, you know, people loved American Pie 1. I mean, the series itself has made tons of money.
Right.
But I mean, what do you love about this franchise? And we got to make those kinds of jokes. Some of them they made in a new way that just went over, you know, amazingly. Mm. But then some of them did fall flat. They did come off as corny. And you kind of like, there was a couple moments in the theater where I kind of like was like, oh, like I cringe a little bit because I was like rooting for this movie so much, almost for like perfection.
Right.
And it's not perfect, I think it was great. And I left the theater with my girlfriend and we saw it together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was saying, like, I would no doubt want to see this movie again when it comes out in theaters.
I enjoyed it. I think that it was probably one of the better comedies that I've seen in a while. One of the bad parts, though, is the same things that make these characters who they are in the movie, the same things that make it kind of corny and weird at times. Like, Stifler is sometimes too much Stifler, and Oz is sometimes too much Oz. And
I think Chris Klein is just like that.
Oz's corniness is ridiculous.
I think that's just how he is.
Right, and I like that. It's weird. It's also weird that, like, Oz and Sean William Scott are, like, huge now. They're like really
ripped.
Yeah.
Chris Klein is a monster now. Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah.
What happened?
He has an LL Cool J face. That's what I call it.
What is that?
It's like when your face gets so chiseled that you start to look like a robot almost. It's like you have no cheeks whatsoever. It's just bone and a layer of skin and no fat or anything in it. It's weird looking.
Okay.
He has LL Cool J face. Look at LL Cool J's face now. You'll be weirded out.
Okay.
Looks like
I'll look it up.
Chris Klein's face. But it was a very good movie, man.
Speaking of Chris Klein, I gotta say something. If you've never seen his auditions online from when he tried out for the Mamma Mia film of him singing, if you need to know what I mean when I say I think Chris Klein is just like that, like that deer in the headlight, his eyes are always... Watch it online.
Really?
He sings Lay All Your Love on Me from Mamma Mia. It is hilarious. You got to find it. Sorry, I had to go on that tangent.
Yeah,
I had to look it up. It's ridiculous.
It's funny.
You almost wonder, is it real? And it is real. He literally tried to be in that film, and this is his audition video. You got to see it.
Chris Klein. Cool. So, yes, go see the movie.
I was happy to hear that you liked it, because, I mean, like, when I asked you, like,
let's
do American Reunion.
You saw it on my face.
Yeah, like, let's do American Reunion for the week, you know, that it opens. Let's go to this press screening. And... You literally could not have been more less interested in coming along.
Right.
I feel like there are films that you would have... This is me begging you to come and see American Reunion when you were, like, knocking on my door to go see Ghost Rider 2.
Right, right.
But I was like, really, Ronald? Come on, man. Don't you love American... Who doesn't like American Pie?
There's only one more thing, one movie that matches my lack of enthusiasm. And it's so weird
what is that?
What I'm about to say. You are not going to believe what I'm going to say.
Tell me now.
Prometheus.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I have no desire to see Prometheus, but I'm going to see it because I know that I'll probably see it.
Mark it now, listeners.
Yeah. I'll probably...
In the summer, you'll hear Ronald saying how...
Eat my words.
This movie has been amazing, and it will definitely be on my top 10, and I can't wait for blah, 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 blah.
Or I'll say this movie
is
sharp.
I feel like your tuner goes off sometimes.
It does, man. Sometimes
I feel like
I see
you
movies.
Need to recenter that or something.
Sometimes I watch movies, and I mean, trailers, and it's lost upon me, man. Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm like, fuck, this isn't going to work for me.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And it has that effect on you.
Sometimes, yeah, it doesn't right now. It doesn't really. I watched the TED Talks thing about him.
Yeah, the guy Pierce.
And that was really cool, but still not convinced.
So Prometheus, nothing.
American.
But American. Ghost Rider 2, 6 to Midnight.
Yeah.
American Reunion, nothing.
Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing.
Wow.
If this were a sex scene and I were, this was my first scene, I would have gone limp and the director would have said, get off the set. You cannot get erect. What's the matter with you?
It would have called in the fluffer.
It would have called in the fluffer and the fluffer couldn't even have helped me.
Oh, man.
Terrible. I thought it was going to be awful. American Reunion was solid, man. I would definitely
see it. I'm happy to hear it, man. I hope it does well. I mean, I know that the other films, you know...
It's a good time to come out,
even though. Coming out 2 years after one another, I mean, all the films, like, made bank at the box office, especially internationally.
The good part is there are no huge comedies right now that can knock it off. That's the cool part. Because all... I mean, the Hunger Games hype is a different genre.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is the best thing that could ever happen.
Yeah, so. I think the timing is really good. And what's really cool to me, too, I mean, looking at some of the numbers, is that if this film does really well, which I hope it does, I mean, not even including those direct-to-DVD things, if this film does as well as the other ones did internationally, this could be a billion-dollar franchise.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, I never even stopped to think about it.
Right.
But each of the other three films, of the core films in the franchise, have made nearly $250 million internationally. Wow. So, I mean, that's insane to me.
That is insane.
A billion-dollar comedy franchise? I mean, with the exception of Hangover and some older hits, there's really nothing out there that even comes close to that.
Right.
But American Reunion's in theaters now. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. Let's see. John Cho, Chris Owen, Nadia, Natasha Lyonne.
She looks kind of weird.
Everyone's in this movie, man. You can't miss it.
She's Shannon Elizabeth.
She just looked weird. I mean, I thought she was hot back in 99, but she still looked weird then.
Right.
Like, she looks so fake.
She looks very fake in this one.
Yeah. But where she had if you're worried about not seeing her nude, there is nudity in this film.
They have good nudity.
Thankfully not her, because I don't know how great she looks now, but Jim's neighbor, Kara.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Guaranteed.
Nudity. Promise you're going to love that character.
I promise you.
Any male listener out there.
She's beautiful.
Even female listeners, you got to admire something like that.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to our DVD quick picks for this week. You want to kick it off?
Cool. Mine is actually a French movie called The Intouchables.
The Intouchables.
The Intouchables.
Not
strange.
The Un.
Right.
But The
Intouchables. So it's about a quadriplegic. Quadriplegic? I always felt weird saying that. Quadriplegic.
You did a really good job, though.
Yeah, he's a wealthy man. And he needs someone, a caretaker. And he winds up meeting a man who comes for the job hunt. And he is big, burly, obnoxious. And he just wants to, the person that's hiring, the hiring manager that's kind of overseeing the process, mm-hmm. to just sign his paper so he can get welfare.
Okay.
So the guy promises he'll sign the paper if he comes to work for him for a week. So this guy is, like, from the streets, African-American, in this rich sort of environment. And they develop this incredible bond. And this is based on a true story. I do not know any of the actors, to be completely truthful. Francois Cluzet is Felipe. And Driss is the gentleman that takes care of him. One of the best movies I've seen in a long time in this kind of genre. It's heartfelt. The humor is so good, and they have a really good connection. So this quadriplegic has no kind of ties to any social life, and this guy kind of opens up his world. They start smoking weed together and talking and analyzing life, and these are things that he kind of couldn't do because he felt like he was, you know, kind of cut off from the world when he got this disability. The American release is coming May 25th, and they're already in talks to make an American version with Colin Firth playing a quadriplegic.
So, wow.
Yeah.
They did not miss a beat, do they?
They did. They just came out in 2011. Damn. How? Those bastards. And it was late 2011.
You know, honestly, though, man, that's like a benchmark, though. If they make a remake, if they're in the process of making a remake that fast, you know it's a good property.
Right.
You know,
it was
like,
November. 2011 is when it came out.
Gotcha.
It's like no time.
It's incredible. I have to check it out.
Yeah.
My quick pick this week is going to be for Being Elmo, A Puppeteer's Journey. For many, many reasons. First of which, it's about Kevin Clash, who's from Baltimore, Maryland, which is where we live. So it's always good to see a Baltimore person doing good.
Definitely.
Second, it takes me back even further than American Pie did. It takes me back to my childhood with Sesame Street. Being Elmo, Kevin Clash has come to notoriety for Being Elmo. I mean, he's the voice of the puppeteer that, you know, has made Elmo what he is, was. I mean, what made Elmo the phenomenon that he was those years that Tickle Me Elmos were crazy as hell, like Christmas time. People beat each other up for it. But it's a documentary film. It's out now on Netflix on DVD. I watched it on Netflix myself. I'd heard a lot of great things about it. I did not have a chance to see it while it was in its limited release here in Baltimore, which really upset me because it came out at the end of 2011, and I just didn't get to see it, you know. But basically, what makes this film so incredible? I mean, I literally, there's my literally again. I got to catch myself saying that all the time. I don't know. I feel like I never had a truly wanting to see truly how puppets work. It's almost like magic, you know? Like, I don't need to know the inner workings of it. I'm very inquisitive by nature, and sometimes I've looked into it. I've messed around with, like, puppets here and there. Mm-hmm. But it's like when I watch things like properties like, you know, Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, Sesame Street, all these things, like The Muppets, Fraggle Rock, things that were staples in my childhood and growing up, right. It's magical to me. And I don't always want to know how it works. Mm-hmm. But seeing this documentary and seeing Kevin's involvement in not only Elmo, but other elements of Sesame Street, Captain Kangaroo, another throwback, you know, a film like Labyrinth, which is an amazing film that I will always love, Dark Crystal, you know, things like this, just seeing how determined this young man was, and, you know, he's a grown man now with a family of his own. But just seeing his drive, his skill, his passion, a true talent, the family that he has behind him that encouraged him, the opportunities that he had, you know, working with people like Frank Oz and Jim Henson. I mean, it's incredible as a Baltimorean to say, oh, God, the guy grew up in Baltimore City that, you know, lived in a not great neighborhood, didn't have a whole lot going on in his life. And, you know, he worked up and he's the voice behind one of the biggest pop culture icons and children's toys, television ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to me. And I mean, it's a really well done film. Very heartfelt, very well paced. It's only 80 minutes. So it goes by really quick.
Really?
Whoopi Goldberg, you know, is involved with it. Just a really, really great film.
Is it on Netflix now?
It is on Netflix. I watched it on Netflix and it's on DVD. It's either on DVD now or coming shortly on DVD. But, I mean, just if you like documentaries, it's great. I mean, if you have an interest in filmmaking, the behind-the-scenes magic, anything like that of filmmaking, it's just awesome to see an artist that worked like that. I mean, and not knowing, like I said, about puppeteering and seeing them underneath the shelves, you know, moving these puppets with their hands and the different voices and the faces. And it's an art, man, and it's incredible. And I was just blown away by it. So I would definitely recommend seeing Being Elmo.
I need to see it.
Yeah, man. That's going to wrap it up.
Wow.
For number 32.
That was fast.
Yeah.
So fast.
That's what she said. That goes out to my boy David. What up, Dave? but yeah, so that's going to wrap it up for episode 32. You know, hit us up on the pages as always, movieschmovie.net.
We're everywhere. Pinterest now, right?
Dude, we're rocking the Pinterest. If you are on Pinterest, please follow us.
Please.
We are trying to get people to follow us on Pinterest, and it's like pulling teeth.
Right. It
hurts.
It hurts. Well, I posted my review on Hunger Games on my personal Pinterest, and I got like 10 repins.
Yeah, way to post it on
What?
Nah, I'm just messing with you. But we need to build it up, man. People are over the Pinterest. I use Pinterest all the time. I'm not going to lie to you. It's fun.
Pretty solid.
It's really easy to use.
I haven't built it to my browser now, so I could just pin things.
The bookmarklet. Yeah. It's awesome. And, of course, we have, you know, the Facebook page. The email address is movieschmovie@gmail.com. If you have any ideas for the shows to make it better, stronger, leaner, anything like that, feel free to hit us up. And if you subscribe to the podcast through iTunes or through Mixcloud, please, you know, share those links to your friends and family.
Tell people.
That's all you got to say.
Right.
Again, American Reunion's in theaters now. Definitely recommend seeing it.
Yep. Also random. Do the Right Thing 20th anniversary Blu-ray just came out. And I heard it looks incredible.
Pick that up.
Yeah, pick it up.
All right, right on, man. Yeah. All right, as always, guys, you made our day. Thanks so much for listening.
Peace.